Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the little ghost boy who just wanted to play.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
So if you have a real ghost story, you can share it with us. Call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802. If you like to write, write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And you can get an ad-free version of the show. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive. Just become a premium subscriber. You can do it through Apple Podcasts. Try it 3 days free. A couple other ways, sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon's here today.
I am. Well, you know, I love celebrity ghost stories.
Do you have one?
Did you ever watch a show on TV, Celebrity Ghost Stories?
Of course I did. Yes.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was really good. And maybe because they're just really good actors and they tell the story really well, but they're always really, really good. And so I'm always kind of watching for any kind of celebrity ghost story things pop up. And the other day I saw an article about Amy Winehouse and her father, Mitch, who apparently was a cab driver, I think, in London, said that he often has ghost encounters with Amy's spirit. And that he said she will, like, walk in and sit at the foot of the bed. And he said, you know, it's just like her. It looks just like her. And he said, she just looks at me, you know, and kind of takes it all in and then leaves, I guess.
Such a tragic story, her life, yeah. You know?
And he says it really intensifies around her birthday. That
makes sense.
A lot more activity. But also there, apparently she had a tattoo of a blackbird. And he's had some, like, encounters with a blackbird that... Yeah, a blackbird flew into the window and stunned it, and he went out and picked it up and kind of got it back. And instead of flying off, it just kind of hopped over and got on his foot and sat there for a while.
See, that would be, to me, that's like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said he knew that it was Amy's spirit. But anyway, I thought, you know, I always think that's, it's just kind of interesting that spirits affect, you know, everybody, all walks of life, you know, everybody says that, you know, they have encounters with spirits. I was reading another one that Courtney Cox told, you know, the Friends star. And she said that she had moved into a house and she said, I think she said that she felt a little occasionally something, but never really saw anything or whatever, but just occasionally kind of felt a little bit nervous. But people that would come to her house and visit, that they would say, I felt like somebody was sitting at the foot of my bed, on the foot of the bed. You know, like they'd come in and sit down, like, and but nobody's there. And so she was, you know, kind of like a little creeped out by people telling her stuff. And so she said one day she went to the door because the doorbell rang or whatever. And she opened the door and it was the UPS man. And he had a package for her. And he said, do you know your house is haunted? And she said, well, I guess, you know, or something. And she goes, well, why? And he said, because there's someone standing right behind you.
Oh.
She said she moved out pretty quickly after that.
So I'm taking it the UPS guy was some kind of sensitive or something.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
Because, you know, it wasn't like there was a person standing behind her. He must have seen it in a way where
exactly.
He would recognize it as a ghost, a spirit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that freak you out?
Oh my God, could you imagine? And him going, you know, do you know your house is haunted? And she was kind of like, well, yeah, you know, like, I guess, you know, I mean, she didn't want to go into a whole story with the UPS man about people staying at her house saying stuff. So she's like, well, yeah, why? Because there's somebody standing right behind you.
See, and that's the last thing you think the UPS guy's going to say to you.
I know, right?
You know, there's a million other things.
You're going to think that he goes, well, the last people that lived in this house had some stories or whatever, you know, that it's haunted or something. But you're not going to expect the UPS guy to go, because I'm seeing a ghost right behind you.
Ugh. I think I'd have to ask, like, is he threatening? Is he like, yeah, does he seem cool? Do I need to move out?
Yeah. She may have asked more. That was just where the story ended.
Because I'd be like, do I need to find a place like today?
Yeah. Does it look he doesn't have an axe in his hand or anything, does he?
Can you tell me, should I feel threatened? How do I feel right now? Because I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, but.
Well, we've got one today about this little ghost boy. And it says, this experience takes place about 10 years ago. My children and I attended a family gathering for Thanksgiving. There were about 40 of us having lunch at my Aunt Gigi's house. 40 people is so many people for Thanksgiving.
That gives me anxiety. Well, it's kind of hilarious because, like, we had Christmas at your house and there were four of us. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't know if I can get all this food done, you know, for four people. The idea of 40, just
40.
You know,
the logistics of it. Like, where do they all sit? How do you prepare that kind of food? How do you make sure all of the food is ready at the same time? That's something that I've never been able to do well. I don't know. That's a lot. So anyway. So they're at Aunt Gigi's house. It says it's a two-story house with a really big yard. The weather was nice and warm. The sun was out, and it was a beautiful day. The gathering took place outside. There were tents and tables set up around the yard, along with a big open area for the little ones to run around and play. The inside of the house is pretty good sized, and the first floor is much larger than the second. When walking into the house, you have to go through a screen door and then the main door, which both make really loud squeaks when opening. It would be impossible to miss anyone coming in or out of the house. Since everything was set up outside, the only time anyone went into the house was to bring food in and out of the kitchen or to use the restroom. My cousins and I all had our kids around the same time, so there were seven kids, ages 1 to 3, at the gathering that day. After a few hours of my children playing outside, they were really dirty. I took them upstairs to give them a quick bath. The bathroom was the very first room after the staircase, and anyone who came upstairs would have to walk past the bathroom before they could get anywhere else. I had both kids in the tub and left the door open. My back faced the door, and my children could see out into the hallway. They were both pretty tired from playing and weren't very active or talking much. My 18-month-old looked past my shoulder and started to smile. Then she started to look around. Wait. Then she started moving to look around me and started laughing. My 3-year-old then looked out the door and started laughing as well. So I turned around. I didn't see anyone there, and I didn't think anything of it, so I didn't ask them what they were laughing at. Then my 3-year-old said, "Hey," as her head followed something back and forth. Quickly, I turned around again to see what was going on behind me. Nothing again. Then my 3-year-old asked me, "Mom, who's the boy?" This time I turned around to look and caught a very quick glimpse of something darting into one of the rooms across the hall. All I could make out was the back of a white t-shirt and the back of a head that had short, wavy, dark hair. It looked like the age could be somewhere between 6 and 7 years old in size. I quickly ran into that room just to take a peek, and I saw nothing. At this point, I was thinking, I'm just seeing things, and about a minute later, I could hear a child's voice calling out, "Mom! Mom!" It sounded the way it does when your child is walking around looking for you. I was thinking it was one of my nieces or nephews looking for their mom in the house, so I called out and asked who it was, and there was no answer. I called out again, and no one answered me. Which is pretty strange because the kid that she's seeing is much bigger than the kids at the, like the nieces and nephews. She said they were all between 1 and 3, you know, her kids' age.
Yeah.
Now I was getting worried because all of my nieces and nephews are too young to be in the home by themselves. They could get hurt or fall down the stairs. I got on my cell phone to call one of my cousins and tell her one of her kids was in the house looking for their mom. She told me that she was watching all of them play in the kiddie pool and no children were missing. Everyone is there right in front of her. I asked her if anyone else came to the party with other children. She said no. I then asked her to send someone in to look around the house because I didn't want to leave my kids alone in the tub. My other cousin came into the house, and I could clearly hear both doors opening up with those loud screeching noises. She looked around both upstairs and downstairs. She said there was absolutely no one in the house. Now, I was thinking to myself that maybe I heard one of the voices of the kids from outside and it carried into the house. I took a few seconds to be still and listen to the activity that was going on outside. I could hear kids laughing and playing, but it was very faint. That child's voice that I heard was very clear. It sounded like he was right at the top of the stairs. Then I realized I did not hear those doors open at all before hearing that voice, or even before my kids were laughing and asking who that boy was. My thoughts were interrupted when my kids began to fuss because they were hungry and tired. Everything that happened quickly left my mind and was forgotten for years. Fast forward to 3 years later at another family gathering. This time we were at my uncle's house, which was about two streets down from where we had Thanksgiving years prior. All of the kids were a bit older now, ages 3 to 6. This time the crowd was much smaller and we were all indoors. All of the women were in the kitchen cooking and getting the food prepared. The men were in the living room watching the kids run around and play. There were only 5 kids, 2 girls and 3 boys. The kids were running up and down the long hallway, so my uncle kept doing a head count of all the children when they would run back out into the living room. A few times he counted 6 children. The kids would run out into the living room and he would count 5 heads. They would run back down the hallway and come right back to the living room and there would be 6 heads. I could hear him in the kitchen saying that he was counting 6 kids. I think that's weird that if that happened and you see, you know, the kids are playing and you're 5 kids, 6 kids, I would be like, well, I don't know who that one is.
Well, yeah, wouldn't you notice that there was an unusual kid that isn't part of the family?
Yeah. I'd be like, who's does this kid belong to and why does he keep coming in and out?
Yeah.
He popped, and now this does make sense. He stood up to look closer into the hallway as the kids ran up and down. He popped into the kitchen and asked us whose little boy was there playing with the kids. We all looked at each other confused. We had no guests over and we weren't expecting any at all. One of my aunts asked him what the boy looked like and he said he had a white t-shirt on with wavy dark hair. The minute I heard what he said, I froze. I remembered what happened years ago when I thought I saw a little boy with a white shirt and wavy hair run into one of the bedrooms. All of us were looking at each other, not knowing what to say or do. My Aunt Gigi, the one who owned the house where I saw the boy years prior, had a slight smile. She said to us, "He probably came here with me." I kind of read it like our mom. Well, he probably came here with me. Now we are all even more confused, as all her children are in college. She proceeded to tell us that there was a little boy ghost who had been with her for over 15 years. It began when she purchased her first home in a brand new development. It was the perfect starter home for their family. And just as they started to get settled into their new home, she noticed a few strange things going on. The sound of someone running around upstairs could be heard while everyone was downstairs in the dining room eating dinner. She would hear a child call out, "Mom, Mom!" At first, she thought it could be one of her children as they were little at that time, but whenever she would respond, they would both say they didn't call her. She would even hear it while her own children were sitting right next to her. Years later, the kids were getting bigger, so they decided to sell the house and move into a bigger home. The new house they purchased was less than a mile away from their original home. A few months after settling into the house, she was doing the laundry and heard one of the kids calling out for her, "Mom, Mom!" She shouted, "I'm in the laundry room," but there was no response. She repeated herself again, only to realize it was 11 a.m. on a weekday and her children were at school. She was the only one home. Feeling like she lost her mind, she frantically looked through the whole house to find no one there. There is a time she heard one of her daughters yelling, "Eric, get out of my room." But Eric was right next to her at the table doing homework. Her daughter said she saw her little brother run into her room while she was walking up the steps. Eric is the only boy in the house and couldn't be confused with anyone else. One day she recalled taking a nap on the couch. She heard the little voice calling out to mom like it always did. Slowly she opened her eyes and saw a boy walking away from her and into the kitchen. She quickly got up to see where he went, but nothing was there. She was going through a repeat of what happened in the previous house. Months went by with the same thing happening every now and again. She finally decided to call in a medium for answers and advice. Before the medium came over, she gave the bare minimum of what was happening in the house, saying she thought her house was haunted and that she was concerned because she had children. When the medium came over, she did a walk around the home. She told my aunt that there was a little boy that wanders throughout the house looking for his mom, and that he actually followed her from the previous home she lived in. My aunt didn't understand how the boy could have followed her from the first home when it was brand new. They were the first family to live in that house. Where was he before the house was built? The medium couldn't tell her exactly what had happened to the little boy, but she said the boy was drawn to her and liked being around her. Initially, my aunt wanted the house cleared for whatever it was to move on. After hearing what was said, she told the medium that she doesn't want to force him to leave if he doesn't want to go. He can stay if that's what he wants. With that being said, the boy stayed and he remains there to this day. As the years went by, she heard him less and less, but he's still there. He pops up every now and then. She did research on the area where her first house was built and found out that the land the neighborhood was built on used to be a huge empty lot filled with mostly sand and some dirt. It was a popular area where all of the children from neighboring areas would go to play for years. When they were ready to begin building the new neighborhood, they closed off the property and started digging. There were several huge piles of sand, which must have seemed like mountains to the little kids. A few of the neighborhood kids snuck into the construction site in the late afternoon and started climbing up the piles of sand. One of the kids was at the bottom of the pile while the others were climbing up to the top. The movement caused the sand to aggressively slide down and piled on top of the boy at the bottom. By the time the other kids could run home and get help, it was too late and he was lost under the big pile of sand. It took many shovels and eventually a machine to locate the little boy's body. I have many paranormal experiences to share. I enjoy listening to your podcast, and I'm not sure who that was from exactly. But a tragic story, but then it's interesting that he could follow her aunt, not just home to home, but to family get-togethers. He follows her everywhere.
Well, he's very attached to her then, and he's attached to the person.
It makes me kind of sad because it's like, you should be attached to your own mom. Can you find your
own
mom?
It's like he's looking for a mother.
Yeah. You know? It makes me really sad.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting that she saw the kid, the uncle saw the kid, and then the aunt's like, oh, it's all me. It's this little ghost boy.
3 years in between them, you know, her first seeing it and then later at another get together it comes up, and then the aunt's like, well, it's, you know, this has been going on. But that is interesting, because usually spirits are more, you know, attached to location as opposed to a person. But I guess that could be.
And okay, so say that you were that Aunt Gigi. Mm-hmm. And you had this little boy attached to you. And I think, I don't know if I'd be okay saying, if he wants to stick around me, that's okay. I'd be like, no, he really needs to move on. I don't want him sticking around me. I want him to go find peace someplace else. I just think, and I don't know exactly what that means. You know, is there a little boy out there who's lost in between this life and the next? I don't know. But It would bother me just to think I have this little ghost boy running around my house.
Well, there's that. But there's also, I would just like him to have peace.
Yeah.
You know, and to be able to quit searching and just move to the other side, possibly reunite with, you know, family or, you know.
Because every time you would hear him say, "Mom, Mom," you would be like, "Oh, honey, you have got to move on." You know, that would break my heart every time I would hear that. It just makes me sad thinking of it.
Yeah. I think I would have tried, but, there's no guarantees that that happens. But I think I might have tried to go ahead and let him, you know, try to get him to move toward the light.
But Aunt Gigi seems cool with it. It's like, it's me. That's my little ghost boy. He comes to family get-togethers. You know, so now it makes me wonder, what about the next Thanksgiving with Aunt Gigi? Now that everybody knows the story.
Yeah, they're all going to be looking for the guy, you know.
It's like, did the little boy come with Aunt Gigi this time? Anybody seeing an extra kid?
Well,
And wouldn't that get to be kind of a family thing? Oh, Aunt Gigi's coming. You know Aunt Gigi, the one with the ghost boy. Well, here is another story.
Hey, Tony, this is Daniel from Illinois. I've got a couple of really strange stories for you. So I'm a housekeeper and I'm a facilitator at a hospital, a really, really old hospital here in the capital city. And I'm actually responsible for like the cleaning of like the morgue and the former psych ward. I know it sounds too good to be true, but it's part of my schedule as a housekeeper. But so I've had a few really weird things happen. One of my times cleaning the morgue, all the lights were off. And I hear like the movement of cartwheels and like the setting down of instruments. And so like that really freaked me out because I rounded the corner and, you know, no one was there. And on the 10th floor, the former psych ward, there's been a lot of weird stuff. One of my friends saw a full body apparition, and actually him and I were working on that floor maybe a few months ago. And there's no one up there. It's just offices now. But we hear like a ringing of a bell. And so this, you know, before I started to think, oh, that's pretty weird. But then you think back, and that's before they had like the call button, you know, to call your nurse. And so like you would ring a bell. So that was just another weird thing to happen up there. I've had a few times where I was on the 10th floor, you know, the former psych ward. And I go and unlock the doors, you know. So I'm sitting down for my break and I'm calling my wife. And I start to hear these doors shut. And I'm thinking, okay, this is kind of a pain, you know, like maybe security is coming through and shutting my doors because I had all of them open. And so I'm walking closer to, I heard one of the doors like slam. And the 10th floor is pretty big. It's pretty spread out. So I went to go investigate. And the closer I get, the more the doors started to shut, you know, like at more of a frequency. And I round the corner and finally, you know, of course, all of my doors that I had just unlocked were all shut. But yeah, I've gotten plenty more stories for you. But I love the show and thank you for everything you guys do. Bye.
Well, share more stories whenever you want. We'd appreciate it. But that place is haunted.
Yeah, you know, I would have been so afraid if I heard a door shut behind me that I had left it open because I would be so afraid it locked.
Golly, no kidding.
That's where I always go to. When a door shuts, I'm so claustrophobic. about being trapped in something, that whenever that happens, like my first thought is, oh my God, I can't get out.
Well, and then if it's paranormal, obviously, is it going to hold the door shut?
Right.
And, you know, prevent you from mm-hmm. escaping, just to terrorize you even further.
Which is some of what I think my claustrophobia comes from, because when we were growing up, we lived in a haunted house, and there would be that occasion where I'd go to open the door,
and
it was this
open.
Creepy bathroom, and it wouldn't let me open the door. And it wasn't that it felt like it was jammed or something. It felt like somebody was holding it mm-hmm. on the other side. And that would just, my heart would start pounding, and I'm just like, I can't get out, I can't get out, you know? And so I think part of my, and so every time I hear these stories about doors closing, that's where I jump to, like, I can't get out. So thank God, it sounds like they didn't lock, you know?
But very, very haunted.
Hospitals, we've talked about yep. quite a few hospitals on this show.
We said cleaning the morgue and the psych ward.
Yeah, and that one time where, like, a cart rolling, and then it sounded like instruments being set onto the cart.
I don't know how well I would personally do with that job. Sounds like he's handling
it
pretty well.
You would suck at that.
I think I would have to be like, okay, I'm a housekeeper. I've got skills. I can take my skills any number of places. They'd be happy to have me.
You know, I would... Motel 6 always needs somebody to help
right.
out. You know, I can always get a job there. And
although,
nobody's haunting Motel 6.
Maybe not. But what you might find in a Motel 6 room might be just more scary than any of that.
Well, it could be. I don't know. But I just think, you know, and then the bell.
Just
that's
so
really
many
crazy.
Things. So many
you
things.
You know, and you would think, like you said, the bell would be somebody wanting help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, feeling like they need help. That's creepy.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, I hope Daniel writes back with more stories.
I would love to hear more stories, because I bet he's got a lot of them.
I'll bet so. Those were good. That was good.
So if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. You can call in like Daniel, 855-853-4802, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you want. No commercials, advance episodes, access to the archive. You could do that through Apple Podcasts. You could also do that through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.